only you can, Lord. Change me.
Change.
Can y'all help me say it? It's easy.
I need you to.
Oh, come on. Say it like you mean it. Change me. Whatever's not like you, Lord, I want you to. From the inside out, Lord. Remember this?
Family, it is so great to be with you today. I'm excited for our time together. Where I am in New Haven, there is a lot of snow, but we are getting through and the weather is cold. But by God's grace, He is keeping us. I'm very grateful for our time together today, and I look forward to talking about our topic today. Seeing what we can do to help us to thrive in this new year. So I want us to talk about the 11 essential elements of a spiritual growth environment. And this is Orlando Yarborough III. The purpose of our time together is to talk about your year on purpose, about you having a year on purpose and about thriving, and also to increase your awareness of your own spiritual development and to help you be intentional about spiritual growth. So to talk about your year on purpose and thriving, to increase your awareness of your own spiritual development, and to help you be intentional about spiritual growth. And so thank you very much for joining us on this call. And for those who are listening to the recording, also thank you and welcome. A little bit about myself. When I was age 6, I accepted Jesus Christ and invited him into my life. And prior to and after my salvation and baptism, others were very intentional about my spiritual awareness and growth. Today, I am a husband and a father and a brother and a friend and a community member. And so I have influence, and I'm very interested in how I contribute to the healthy spiritual and natural growth of others. Today, what we'll talk about is why talk about spiritual growth and 11 essential elements of a spiritual growth environment. So there are a lot of things that will happen this year. The days will pass, the seasons will come and go, you will get older. But growth is not guaranteed to be one of them unless you intentionally grow. And that is why we are here. Growth is not an automatic process, but intentional growth makes the most of what God gives us. People who don't grow never know what's in them. I think about how Paul encouraged Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:6, saying, "Stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And so I ask you, you know, where is your power? Where is your love? Where is your sound mind? Where is the gift that God has given you? We can indeed grow spiritually. My foundation for this series on thriving and flourishing in Christ is the book of Ephesians, where Paul has written this letter to the believers in Ephesus, but it's also thought by many scholars to have been a circular letter that went around to other regions of the Asia Minor, other believers. And in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 14 through verse 19, Paul talks about developing and growing in one's spiritual self. And Paul says, the words are written, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." So my encouragement for you today is to embrace a good growth environment. A good growth environment will nurture your ongoing growth and progress in Christ. And here are 11 essential elements of a spiritual growth environment. There may be more. This is not an exhaustive list, but 11 that I've identified in my life and mentors have helped identify in my life. And as we go through these, I'll attempt to highlight a biblical example or character that I think speaks to this particular element. Number one, others are ahead of you. Others are ahead of you. You aren't by yourself. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12 says, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So developing in our spiritual life is not about avoiding all conflict, and there is no promise from God that life is going to be rosy and sweet and we're not going to have trouble. In fact, Jesus says, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And Ecclesiastes is saying, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. So when we are walking this life by ourselves, we may be overcome by some things. But when there are two of us going through life together, we have a little bit more chance to be fortified against what is against us. And a threefold cord, three of us traveling together, are not as quickly broken as maybe one of us or even two of us. So when you think about your life this year and growing in Christ, are you by yourself or are you with others? And then the people you are with, are they ahead of you? That means you are not the smartest one at the table. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. You each bring something to the table that helps you to be better. And I think about it this way. Every Paul should have a Barnabas. So Barnabas was a mentor in Paul's life. And Barnabas affirmed Paul and spoke into Paul's life and even challenged Paul. So I believe every person should have a mentor, but also every Paul should have a Timothy. Timothy was a mentee to Paul, someone who then Paul reciprocated the blessing and poured into Timothy. So in your life, you are to have a mentor and a mentee, where you are surrounded by people ahead of you, and then you are ahead of someone. So before we go on to the next one, I want to ask you a question. Are others ahead of you? So if you were to, if you're taking notes and you were writing a question down on a piece of paper, you know, write this question, are others ahead of me? And then write numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and give yourself a rating, with 5 being yes, others are definitely ahead of me in my environment, and 1, no, either I'm by myself or the people I'm with are not ahead of me. So rate yourself. Are others ahead of me? Number 2, in a spiritual growth environment, you are continually challenged. Jesus would challenge his disciples to go further. In Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 43, Jesus was speaking with his disciples and distinguishing them what it means to walk according to God and what it means to walk according to the world. And he begins in verse 43, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. And so when we think about being in an environment that continually challenges us, it challenges us to walk according to the ways of Christ and not according to the ways of the world. Challenge helps us to locate where we end and where God begins. And specifically, I think about Jesus being in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he is about to be arrested, and he is going to the cross. And Matthew records this, other authors record this, but in Matthew 26, beginning in verse 40, the Bible says, then Jesus came to his disciples, and he found them sleeping. See, Jesus said, I'm going to go off and pray, but I want you to stay here and watch with me. And so Jesus found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. How do we know that the flesh is weak? Unless we are challenged to move forward in spiritual things. The reason it's important to continually be in an environment that challenges you to grow is that you'll begin to see more clearly how you are naturally and where that falls short compared to walking in God's power for you and walking in the wisdom of Christ. And so ask yourself this question and give yourself a rating. Am I continually challenged? When you think about where you are right now and developing spiritually this month and this year, am I continually challenged? Rate yourself 1 to 5, with 5 being absolutely and 1 being no. Number 3 of a growth environment, your focus is forward. Your focus is forward. When Jesus is speaking with his disciples, he's telling them about going to the cross. And in the book of John, chapter 21, verse 18, Jesus is speaking to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wish." And this is actually after Jesus had gone to the cross. It's after he had died, was buried, and resurrected. And he is now restoring the relationship of Peter, because Peter thought that he was going to continue to be by Jesus' side, and he ended up denying Jesus. And so Jesus is there by the water, and he's restoring Peter. And Peter is thinking about walking with God, but he's also thinking about who else is around him. And in verse 21, Peter said to Jesus, looking at John, another disciple who was nearby, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" And Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Jesus was restoring the relationship to Peter. He told Peter, "Follow me." Peter said, "Well, Jesus, what about this man?" Jesus said, "Whatever I do with him is what I do with him. You follow me." In a growth environment, your focus is forward. I think about the author of Hebrews in 6:1. "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God." Let us move on. Let us go on to perfection. So ask yourself this question. Is my focus forward? Is my focus forward? And rate yourself 1 to 5, with 5 being absolutely. Are you distracted, holding on to things that are in the past or watching other people? Or are you focused forward in Christ? The fourth element of a growth environment for spiritual development is that the atmosphere is affirming. The atmosphere is affirming. Jesus, once again, is walking and talking with his disciples. And he asks them, you know, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answer. And then Jesus asks his disciples, as recorded by Matthew in chapter 16, verse 15, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Here's the affirmation. Jesus answered and said to Peter, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." An environment that is suitable for spiritual growth has an atmosphere that is affirming. Jesus could have not said anything to Peter and let Peter just say what Peter said, and Peter probably would not have picked up on the fact that he had a revelation from God. He probably wouldn't have recognized that he was hearing from God, and that Jesus was going to work with him and God was going to do something in his life. The environment that is suitable for you for spiritual growth is one that will affirm who you are in Christ and what God is doing in you, so that you're able to discern how you're hearing from God and how you're progressing and what God is showing you and telling you. And so ask yourself this question: is my atmosphere affirming? And rate yourself 1 to 5, with 5 being absolutely. Is my atmosphere affirming? Number 5, an essential element of a environment suitable for spiritual growth is that you are out of your comfort zone. You are out of your comfort zone. Exodus chapter 4 records the account of God speaking with Moses. And God is letting Moses, I have an assignment for you. And I want you to go to Pharaoh, and I want you to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. I've heard the cries of my people, and I'm sending you to be a participant in the delivery of my people. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 10, this is Moses' response of several responses. Then Moses said to the Lord, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." We have to watch as we go through life, and in particular as we go through this year, staying where we are comfortable. Staying where we are comfortable. Oftentimes, there are occasions where God will stretch us beyond our comfort zone. And it's in that place where we really begin to see and learn more of the nature of God, and begin to discover more of our relationship with him. If it wasn't for Moses finally agreeing to be obedient to the assignment and the call of God upon his life, Moses would have never discovered that God is a provider, that God is a deliverer, that God is a restorer, that God is a healer, that God is a great God above all gods. Because Moses would have stuck to what Moses could do and what Moses knew. But it was in his willingness to step beyond his own ability that God met him and made up the difference. So this year, as you think about your environment, are you in your comfort zone? As you dream about what you're going to do this year, are all the elements of that within your comfort zone? They can be within your strength zone, but are they within your comfort zone? So ask yourself this question: am I out of my comfort zone? Do I have this gap between what I know I can do and what I know God is calling me to? Am I out of my comfort zone? Rate yourself 1 to 5. The sixth element is you wake up excited. And I thought about this and I asked myself, you know, what does it mean to wake up excited? How does that look? And I think that I wake up excited because I'm living life on purpose rather than by accident. I think about having an eagerness for the things of God and living my role in God's larger plan. An example of this might be Samuel the prophet. At the time when he was a young boy and Samuel was in the care of the established prophet Eli. And in First Samuel 1, chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, it describes this as Samuel's first prophecy. In verse 3, it says, "Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was laying down, that the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel answered, 'Here I am.' And so Samuel ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.'" What I think about is how Samuel jumped up and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And then the scripture continues, and Eli said, "I did not call you, lie down again." And Samuel went and lay down. Verse 6, "Then the Lord called yet again Samuel." So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And Eli answered, "I did not call you, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." And then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." How eager are you to answer the call of God in any moment, for a particular day when you wake up, for whatever God is calling you to this year? Do you jump up and leap spiritually, ready, eager, awaiting the direction that God has for you? Do you wake up excited about the things of God? Here's the question to determine where you are in your growth environment. Do I wake up excited? And rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 5, with 5 being absolutely. And just imagine if we go back to that first element of a growth environment where you are with others and there are others ahead of you. Imagine a whole community of women and men walking with Christ, of young people walking with Christ, excited, popping up because they want to hear from God and to walk in what God has for them. Number 7, failure is not your enemy. Failure is not your enemy. It's when we are willing to fail in our pursuit of something worthwhile that we often come to learn the most profound things about our God. I think about the woman Esther, as recorded in Esther chapter 4, beginning at verse 16. Esther was a Jewish woman, a young lady, and she had become the wife of the king. And the king was not a man of God. He detested somewhat. Well, he had people around him who detested the Jewish people, and the Jewish people were set to be annihilated. And Esther was close enough to the king that she might have opportunity to let him know about what was going to happen to her people. And Esther had a choice to make, because it was in those times that if the king did not call for you and you went in to see the king, it was a death sentence, because he would kill you. The king would kill you. And so Esther was talking with her uncle who raised her, Mordecai, and Esther was nervous about going to the king on the behalf of her people. But finally, Esther said this in chapter 4, verse 16, "Go, gather all the Jews who are present in Susan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise, and so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." How many things in your life that you know they are things of God, but to pursue those things puts your life in jeopardy? Maybe to put your reputation in jeopardy. Maybe it puts your physical well-being in jeopardy. But there is a real chance of failing in the world's eyes. In those moments, do you challenge yourself by saying, failure is not my enemy, failure is my friend, and it's worth me taking this chance on God, even if it means things don't work out as I hope they might work out? And lastly, I think about Peter, where Peter and disciples are in a boat and Jesus is coming to them and they see him walking on water. And Peter says in Matthew 14, chapter 28, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And so Jesus said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, was like a ship, it says that Peter walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink, and he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And so it's a case where Peter stepped out on faith and he walked on the water. He was having success for a little while, but he took his eyes off Jesus and he began to sink, which is a type of failure. But even in that, God did not let him go, but reached out for him and lifted him up. And so this question I have for you is, failure my friend? For this year of walking in Christ and growing in the things of God, is failure my friend? And rate yourself from 1 to 5, with 5 being absolutely. Number 8, are others growing around you? Are you in an environment where growth isn't abnormal? Where growth isn't abnormal, but others are growing around you? Paul talks to the believers in Ephesus and others of Christ in chapter 4, verses 11 through 16, and he talks about the gifts and the offices, how Jesus gave some to be apostles and prophets and evangelists. And then he says, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith. Our spiritual walk and growth is an environment where others are growing around you. It's not good enough for just you to grow, but we are to be in an environment where others are growing around us. When Jesus comes back, he's coming back for the body of Christ, not just one person in Christ. And so it's important that as a body, we all grow and we are edified in Christ and we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. And so ask yourself this question, are others growing around me? Are others growing around me? And rate yourself 1 to 5, with 5 being absolutely, others are growing around me. The 9th element is that people desire change in their life and are willing to make changes. So there's 2 parts to this. People desire change in their life, and they are willing to make changes. I think about how Jesus has created a growth environment and an environment to spiritually develop wherever he went. And there was an occasion recorded by Mark in the 9th chapter, verse 20, where there is a man who has a child that is having seizures and convulsions, and he's trying to get his son healed. And it says that they brought this man to Jesus, and when the man saw Jesus, immediately the spirit convulsed the son, and the son fell on the ground and wallowed and foaming at the mouth. And verse 20 says that Jesus asked the father, how long has this been happening to him? And the father said, from childhood, and often he has thrown him both into the fire and in the water to destroy him. So the father is desperate for Jesus to do something. And the father says, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. But Jesus turned it around and turned this into an opportunity for the man and said, if you can believe. So the man said, if you can do anything, but Jesus replied, well, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And what I love is the response of the man. It says, immediately, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Where in your life, in this season, are you asking God to help you to make changes? Are you desiring to be more of who God invites you to be? So ask yourself this question, do I desire change? Am I in an environment that helps me to desire change? And rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 5, with 5 being absolutely. And number 10, growth is modeled and expected. In John chapter 11, verse 14, Jesus is performing a miracle. His friend Lazarus died and was wrapped in grave clothes and in a tomb. And it had been 3 days since Lazarus had died, and Jesus goes and is talking with the family, and there are other people around, and Jesus commands the people to roll away the stone. And in John chapter 11, verse 41, it says, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. This is an occasion where Jesus is speaking to God for a couple of reasons. He said that I'm doing this because of the people who are standing by. So Jesus is modeling for the people who are standing by a relationship with God the Father. And Jesus is modeling what it looks like to pray to God and to depend on God. And Jesus is modeling what it looks like to believe in God and the power of God. Are you in an environment where growth is modeled? Where not that there are just people ahead of you who are living a life and going in a direction that you want to go in Christ, but they're doing it in a way that they're modeling how to grow. and they're modeling how to pray, and they're modeling how to walk in the Spirit, and how to think about things from a spiritual lens versus a natural lens, where you see them not just on Sundays, but you have an opportunity to debrief with them their life. Ask yourself this question. Are you in an environment right now of spiritual growth, where growth is modeled and expected of you? And so ask yourself, is growth modeled and expected of me? Do people expect me to just stay the same, or are they modeling a better way of Christ and expecting me to live into a better way? So rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 5, with 5 being absolutely. And then finally, the 11th element is the Holy Spirit. All these other elements are great for a growth environment, but what makes it a spiritual growth environment is the Holy Spirit. Jesus told his disciples in John 14, 25, verse 26, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." And I appreciate what Paul writes to the believers in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 12 through verse 16. It says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may know the things that have been freely given to us by God." Well, how do we know that we are in an environment where the Holy Spirit is present, is invited, where God has manifested his presence? Verse 13, we look for these things. It says, "These things we also speak, not in words." Oh, I'll get to that. This is Galatians. Galatians talks about it. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." Galatians 5, chapter 22 through 26. And in verse 16, Paul is saying to the Galatians, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." One of the key signs of a growth environment is that the people in the environment are living out or manifesting the fruit of the Spirit. If there's a lot of conceitedness and provoking one another and envying one another, and those who are just fulfilling all the passions and desires of their flesh, then you know that they are in this environment walking according to the flesh and not walking in the Spirit. But in growth environment where the Holy Spirit is present is one where the fruit of the Spirit is present. And in verse 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13, Paul is saying, "These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches." And that's the difference in the environment. It's not man's wisdom that's teaching, but it's the Holy Spirit teaching. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. He says in verse 14, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." And so as you're going throughout this year, one of the things we have to collectively do, just as a body, is stop getting upset or holding misleading expectations or inappropriate expectations for those who don't know God, who have not the Spirit of God, and have not accepted Christ into their lives. Because Paul is saying, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And so the value of being in an environment that allows you to spiritually develop where the Holy Spirit is present is that you can receive affirmations based on spiritual discernment versus looking to the world to affirm the things of God that they can't discern. And not only will they not affirm the things of God because they can't discern them, but they will affirm the things that are of the world because that's all that they know. But when we are in a spiritual environment, verse 15 says, but he who is spiritual judges all things. And then verse 16, for who has known the mind of Christ that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. And so when we are in an environment where the Holy Spirit is present, we can grow and thrive spiritually in that environment. So ask yourself this final question. Am I held accountable to walk in God's Spirit? In the environment I find myself, in the environment that I'm creating for myself, am I held accountable to walk in God's Spirit? Or do the people let it slide that I walk in the flesh? So go ahead and rate yourself from 1 to 5, with 5 being absolutely, I'm held accountable to walk in God's Spirit. And so my prayer for you today is what Paul prayed for the believers in Ephesus, recorded in the first chapter, verse 15. Paul says, I've heard of your faith. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. So today, you know, what did we talk about? That there are a lot of things that will happen this year, and that growth is not guaranteed to be one of them. That intentional growth makes the most of what God has given us. But people who do not grow will never know what is in them, but we can indeed grow spiritually. We can embrace a good growth environment where others are ahead of you. You are continually challenged. Your focus is forward. The atmosphere is affirming. You are out of your comfort zone. You wake up excited. Failure is not your enemy. Others are growing around you. People desire change in their life and are willing to make changes. Growth is modeled and expected, and the Holy Spirit is present. And not just present, but welcomed and followed. So the big idea, when you spiritually develop, you succeed. Growth is not an automatic process, but a growth environment is essential for growth. And so I encourage you to take those growth environment questions. Are others ahead of me? Am I continually challenged? Is my focus forward? Is my atmosphere affirming? Am I out of my comfort zone? Do I wake up excited? Is failure my friend? Are others growing around me? Do I desire change? Is growth modeled and expected of me? Am I held accountable to walk in God's Spirit? To take these questions for a growth environment and take inventory of what you have and make special note of what you need, and then pray to God and ask God to show you where you can begin to find and put together intentionally, actively, the other elements of a growth environment. My final thought is this. You grow better if the environment is conducive to growth. We're all in some type of environment. But the question is the environment that you are in conducive to spiritual growth? So my next steps for you are to grow, take the growth environment questionnaire. And also, if you're interested, you can reach out to me or just begin to develop a starter plan for spiritual growth. My challenge to you is to live this year on purpose. So don't just let it happen to you, but you happen to it. Thank you so much for your time. Let us pray. God, I thank you so much for the opportunity to spend some time in your word on today. And God, I pray that you would help each of us to work with you to find ourselves in an environment where we can grow into all you have called us to be. And we will grow forward in all you have called us to do. Please give us your spiritual discernment so that we can see where we need help in helping the environment around us to be conducive for personal growth. God, help us to link up with those where we can grow together in the fullness of who you've called us to be. Do all that you purpose to do in our lives. Bless those under the sound of my voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.